Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you on this lovely morning. We're thankful we have power here, as thousands of people do not have power. Just a note, if you're watching online, the internet has been going in and out. The service is being recorded, and if it does go out, we'll make sure it gets uploaded later. We're celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord this Sunday. What is it that you appreciate about the gospel? The good news that God has given to us in His Word. His message to us, it is personal and it is also universal. What role we have when it comes to the universal aspect of the gospel? That is our focus for this morning. God bless us as we zero in on that focus this morning. We turn our attention now to page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word through word and song.
And accept our words of thanks and praise.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song.
Please stand. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us
praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, by leading of a star, you once made known to the nations your one and only Son. Guide us also, who know him now by faith, to come at last to the perfect joy of your heavenly glory.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. On this Epiphany Sunday, a reading from Holy Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter. A reminder that, thankfully, and God be praised for this, people from all time have been able and still are able to be moved to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nation will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll sing the hymn or psalm
as noted.
So that your ways may be known on earth. salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth.
Note here how the gospel is described, who it is for, and what it offers. A reading from Holy Scripture, Ephesians 3. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite your attention
to the top of page 8 for our responsive sentences, and then we'll go back to verse 7 to sing the verse of the hymn. It goes back and forth that way. So page 8, our responsive reading on the top. Sing to the Lord a new song.
For He has done marvelous things.
Thank you.
The Lord has made his salvation known
and revealed his righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Burst into jubilant song with music.
Make music to the Lord with the harp.
With the harp and the sound of singing.
Shout for joy before the Lord, the King.
He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the second chapter, where we're reminded of the fact that the Gospel is meant for all people. It's not a limited message. And so may we praise the Lord Jesus Christ as the Magi did. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
We turn to part one of a confession of faith, the Athanasian Creed. Whoever wishes to be saved must, above all else, hold to the true Christian faith.
Whoever does not keep this faith in order and law once will certainly perish forever.
Now this is the true Christian faith.
We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the divine beings.
For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct.
But the deity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit
the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
Yet they are not three who are eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as they are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated, and one who is infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
Yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
Yet they are not three lords, but one Lord.
For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord,
so
Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created,
but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And within this Trinity, none comes before or after. None is greater or inferior.
For all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal.
So that in every way,
as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons.
Whoever wishes to be saved must have this conviction of the Trinity.
Please be seated
as we turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance, and this from God our Father, through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We turn back to our reading from Ephesians, where we hear once again these words. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Your fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who in turn then has enabled you to be lights in this world. I don't know about you, but for me, I like lighthouses. I enjoy when getting the opportunity to explore them and to learn their history. It is said that there are approximately 700 working or active lighthouses in the United States, with the oldest one being in New Jersey, while the most photographed one is on Cape Elizabeth in Maine. Picture of that on the screen. It was commissioned by George Washington. The oldest working or active lighthouse in the world is known to exist in Spain, called the Tower of Hercules, built by the Romans in the first century. Enough trivia. Lighthouses are important. They serve a vital role, beaming a very bright light on the seas to guide those who are traveling in the seas so that they can travel safely. Well, what the lighthouse is to those who are on the sea, that is what we are to be for people on land and sea. We are not commissioned or called to build actual lighthouses. Rather, we are to be, in essence, lighthouses to the people of this world as a congregation and also as individuals. Keep it in mind that the light does not originate from us, but rather has been given to us, and thus we are now in a position to radiate that light from and through us. Thus, the encouragement to us in this Epiphany Sunday, as we celebrate he who is the light of the world and has made this very evident by his appearing in flesh in the world, that you and I reflect his light in a world which is in desperate need of his light. And so, dear fellow lighthouses in and of Christ, keep your lighthouse shining, for we have been given a mystery to reveal. The gospel, in essence, really is a mystery, and we give evidence of that day in and day out as individuals and also as churches. Because the gospel, rooted in Jesus Christ, is not something, not a plan of salvation that you and I or any other human being would come up with. Because the way of salvation that we come up with, which cannot be emphasized enough, is rooted in works. What must I do to be saved, if I even care about being saved? And there are plenty of individuals and there are plenty of churches who will try to answer that question and put the emphasis and keep the emphasis on what you need to do. Well, how does that work for you? When you try and try and try to live up to a perfect God and his standards, and you realize that time and time again, you fail miserably. Oh, you can soothe yourself once in a while and say, well, I didn't break that commandment, at least not like Joe did. Man, he really went to town on that one. God surely got to look favorably on me because I am not as bad as so-and-so. But what does the Lord say? That will not cut it. It's not by observing the law that we are saved. Can it get any clearer than that? Or Ephesians 2, and it's not by our works that we are saved. Rather, it is a gift of God. It is through faith in Jesus, not faith in yourself and in your works, but in Jesus. What did those individuals and churches do with such passages? Or in even John 3, the gospel in a nutshell. God gave. It wasn't that God looked upon the people of this world and said, you know what, they are such good people. Because don't we give evidence day after day of how good people we are? What happens in storm damage and when people have to vacate their homes? Someone comes in and helps vacate their home. It's okay to steal up to a certain amount. It's okay to be married and have a woman or a man on the side. It's okay to have a baby out of wedlock and not be repentant about it. It's okay to have an abortion. There is forgiveness for all such things, but let us not think that we are not to be repentant of any and all sins that we commit in our thoughts and in our words and in our actions. For the standard that we need to be held up to is not our own, but God's. Thus the mystery. It's only through Jesus alone that we can be and are saved. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. These things in Scripture have been written about the Christ so that we can learn of Him and believe in Him and be saved. There is no other way to be saved. Paul, by inspiration in 2 Corinthians 5, was led to write this to make it very clear. And so, unwrap the mystery of the gospel. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The people... this can be a mind-blowing message. It's not by my works. It's not by what I do. It's by what God has done for me in His Son, Christ Jesus. Yes. It's all about Christ and not us. And thus, as Paul writes by inspiration, we have the boundless riches of Christ. They're the unsearchable riches of Christ put before us. The mystery has been revealed. Our salvation is through Christ, the Savior of the nations, the light of the world. Even angels are blown away to see how God's plan has unwrapped itself and taken fruit in the world. God is good. God is amazing. God is merciful and gracious. And that leads to another mystery that has been unwrapped on the pages of Scripture. Well, the gospel has always been meant for all people. Not everyone has recognized that. I mean, even if Paul was talking to the Jews, how many Jews still did not have a place for the Gentiles in the kingdom of God? Thinking it was only for them, but it never was just for them. God set them apart for a special purpose, but not to be exclusive. They were to be the lighthouses throughout the Old Testament and into the New. But too often they would cover up the light so that those around them would not see it. And so Paul had to reveal to them the mystery that was revealed to him, that the gospel was not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentile. And not as second-class citizens, but to be co-heirs, equal with the Jews when it comes to salvation. Matthew 28, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. Not just picking and choosing which ones we're in alignment with, but all nations. In Christ, there is no east or west. There is no male or female, slave or free, rich or poor. We are all one in Christ. We all have a need for the Savior, and we all have the same Savior. At least that's how it's supposed to work, according to God. But then we fall into traps, don't we? We continually need that reminder that it's not by my works or it's not by anything that we do that we get right with God. We have to realize, too, at times that it's not for us to segregate the church. I mean, there was a movement for a while that said only whites could get together and only blacks could get together and only this people and this group could get together. That's not the church that God has in mind and has built. We're all one in Christ. And while we have different roles and responsibilities as men and women, as leaders and so forth, that doesn't give us any more privileges. We're all co-heirs in Christ. And so what traps do we tend to fall into when it comes to sharing the gospel, being lighthouses? What traps keep us from reaching out to people who may not look or act or talk like us? God, help us unveil those traps and help us work through them so that we can carry out the great commission that He has put before His church to go out into all the world and make disciples, followers of Christ, through the teaching and preaching of His Word, using the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. For the Lord has given us different means to be lighthouses, to reveal the mysteries. He has called us by the gospel, and so He encourages us throughout the Scriptures to stay connected to the gospel so that we can grow up in our faith and help recognize the traps that keep us from living the faith as we ought and being the lights that God has called us to be. It's not just sharing the faith verbally that we can fall into a trap, but even just living our life day to day. Think of some of the traps that we have fallen into that are not really being light bearers to the world, but really giving a bad example. And even close to home, fathers and mothers, are you being a lighthouse to your children? Or do you say to them, do as I say, but not as I do? And should you be surprised if you're sleeping around with whoever it might be, cheating on the side, that they grow up and do the same thing? Where did they learn that from? Or if you're not aware of what they're watching on television or on the social media, and you hear words and languages, and you go, where did that come from? Are you supervising them at all? Are you attuned to what's going on in their life? Children are not to be raising themselves, but how many have to? How many absentee parents do we have that grandparents have to fill in the role? And instead of being the great grandparents, end up being the bad grandparents, because they have to carry out the discipline. We see it too often in our society. Too many people have dropped the calling of being a lighthouse. And we're seeing the consequences. God, help us stay connected to His gospel so that we can be the lighthouses that He has called to be, whether we're in a family situation or not. And let us never stop being amazed that God has called us into His family to be His lighthouse. The Apostle Paul never stopped being amazed at how the Lord had chosen him, the least of God's apostles. Who am I? Chief of sinners. And that applies to each and every one of us. And as Paul was called then to be that apostle to the Gentiles, so you and I, just by being in the universal priesthood, also are to go out into all the world and share the gospel. It's not just for those who are in the public ministry. And while we cannot be everywhere at once, thankfully we do have, by God's grace, the public ministry where we can send people and support people on our behalf to go out and proclaim the gospel, to be the lighthouses representing us, ultimately representing Jesus. Each and every one of us has a role to play in this. It's a great responsibility, but together, by God's grace and power, we can do it. Because the message is not our own, it is His. His word is a light to our path. It shows us the way we are to go. And so not only has the Lord given us His word as a means to carry out and reveal the mystery, to be lighthouses in this world, He's also given us the power and tool of prayer. His throne has been opened up to us by what Christ Jesus has done for us. And we can approach God, our Father in heaven, with freedom and confidence. We can pray boldly. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. And maybe we're asking for the wrong things. Jesus gave us the model prayer, not to become a superstitious recitation of words, but to re-examine our prayer life. Are we asking for that which will benefit our relationship with God and relationship with one another, or are we simply talking about me, myself, and I? Approach the Lord then in prayer. Examine what you ask for. You can ask for prayers of personal healing. Definitely ask for prayers of healing on others who are not well physically, emotionally, and or spiritually. And also keep in mind, if we forget to pray for something and you start beating yourself up, oh, I should have talked to God. Well, talk to God. I mean, you don't have to face a certain direction. You don't have to have your eyes closed. You don't have to have your hands folded. You don't have to stand. You don't have to sit. Just have a conversation with God. But if you do still think you forgot something, praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit is also praying on your behalf. Dear friends, God has put us in a position to be lighthouses in this world, to capture people's attention. Just like a lighthouse can capture someone's attention, some more than others. And as lighthouses served and still serve a vital role in keeping people safe, you, by the grace of God, have been given a vital role to help keep people safe, not just now, but for all eternity. What they do with your light beaming on them, well, that's not on you. And so then we go back to prayer and ask the Lord that through your light, the Holy Spirit becomes the light in their own life. So keep your lighthouses shining brightly, dear friends. In Christ, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with part two of the Athanasian Creed. It continues on page 11. It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith. He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and He is man, born in time from the nature of His mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father as to His deity, less than the Father as to His humanity.
And though He is both God and man,
Christ is not two persons but one. One indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person.
For just as the rational soul and
He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from there will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise with their own bodies to answer for their personal deeds.
Those who have done good will enter eternal life, but those who have done evil will go into eternal fire.
This is the true Christian faith. Seated. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you.
Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. And comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Lord, take our silver and our gold, not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, O Lord, we pour, at your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves and we will be ever only all for you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. As you have watched over them through life to this point, we trust you will continue to watch over them. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Lord, we ask you that you refresh the body and mind of Elaine Nisterchek, who has been in need of medical assistance for the past few weeks. Not only refresh her body as you will for her, above all, continue to refresh her mind and heart with the reminder that this health challenge does not change her status with you through Jesus. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
We also pray,
our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Oh,
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Morning again. Just the highlight, we do have a Bible study taking place again here in the church proper. We're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes and talking about a meaningful life. Teen study also starts up again in the upper room. Sunday school is to take place, meeting in the chapel. That starts at 9:15. Teens and Bible study start at 9:30. If you haven't picked up your thank offering envelopes, they are available in the admin building in the library. We'll make sure that door gets open for you so you can get your envelopes, and also that 5x7 packet as well to take with your offering envelopes. Starting on the 11th, this coming Wednesday at 6:30, we're starting up an abbreviated Starting Point Session Bible Information Course. So if you want a basic review of the scriptures, or you want somebody to be introduced to St. Mark's in our teachings, this would be an opportunity to do so. Don't forget about the chili cook-off coming up on the 22nd. See the weekly news for details on that, along with seeing other information in the weekly news. If the Wells Connection is ready, we will watch the Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. As we enter a new year, it's only natural to reflect on the previous one and to thank God for the amazing blessings He gave us. 2022 was a year when a number of synod-wide events and gatherings returned after the pandemic put them on hold. One of those gatherings, in fact the largest regular gathering of Wells members, was the Wells International Youth Rally in Knoxville, Tennessee, with roughly 2,000 attendees.
We don't just want it to be an experience at a cool place. We want to equip them. We want to equip those that are called and those that are willing to lead them and deal with them at such a critical time in their ministry.
In addition to the youth rally being back in person, so were events that show support for Wells Home, Joint, and World Missions, such as the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society Convention and Taste of Missions.
To everyone in the pew, to everyone who gives offerings, gives prayers, sends a letter to a missionary, befriends a mission, anyone who does that, just thank you, because it does not go unnoticed. It is so, so appreciated. And I always felt like a number of times over the years, you know, that letter came at just the right time, you know, where you were struggling or having trouble with something, and it just showed up, and it's super cool. So thank you very, very much.
2022 brought word of new ways that our church body is continuing to connect people who are far from God to their loving Savior. The first was the launch of a new world mission in London, England.
Our God has been gracious and has given us a new life.
I think the religious institutions that are kind of native to this country have lost their way in a lot of senses, and people are crying out for something more substantial.
Also, Wells Home Missions announced the ambitious goal of starting 100 new mission congregations over the next 10 years, so that we may, Lord willing, connect more people like Lauren in Atlanta to their Savior.
Learning God's love and grace for you and compassion and forgiveness, it's freeing. It's freeing, and it opens your eyes to a whole different way of living, to live life and look at life from a completely different perspective.
With all those potential new home missions, we will need additional pastors, teachers, and staff ministers to lead and serve those congregations. Wells continues to provide a high-quality education system that encourages and trains the next generation of called workers.
They have opportunities to go out into congregations and schools, to shadow a pastor, to learn from a teacher in the classroom, to really get that hands-on experience so they can say, I love this.
I do not think we can overestimate the importance of this place if we want the gospel to live on, not only for us, but our children and our grandchildren, and for those surrounding us in our communities and world.
As local churches serve their communities with the gospel of Christ, Wells Congregational Services continues to provide resources so they can faithfully conduct their ministry.
Without having that understanding myself from personal experience to know what it's like to be in the military and what are the best ways that we can serve them, I think that's just helpful to have those resources, and you know, I don't have to figure it out myself.
Resources that help local churches connect with Wells members in the military, as well as programs that help congregations build a bridge from children's ministries and schools to church membership.
The purpose of Telling the Next Generation is help a congregation have a plan. When they come, how do we connect with them? How do we build relationships? And then how do we connect them with Jesus?
All of these various synodical ministries work together to allow us to carry out our calling as Christians, motivated by the love of Christ. This coming summer, our Synod Convention will be held at Michigan Lutheran Seminary to approve our ministry plan for the next 2 years. Topics that are scheduled for the 2023 Synod Convention include addressing the pastor and teacher shortages. These include the announcement of a significantly larger graduating class coming out of Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, and new initiatives out of Martin Luther College for teachers. A highlight of this year's convention is the official declaration of fellowship between Wells and two new church bodies, Iglesia Cristo Wells Internacional in Latin America, and the Obadiah Lutheran Synod in Uganda. In Vietnam, the new theological training facility for the Hmong Fellowship Church will welcome its first class of students. This training facility was built to instruct leaders of the Hmong Fellowship Church, who served nearly 140,000 members with the message of God's free grace. It's clear that our Heavenly Father has great things planned for our church body for this new year. We may not yet know exactly what they all are, but we can be certain that wherever He leads us, He's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine.